Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. So when Jesus saw him in verse 6, lying there, and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" What is his response? The sick man answers him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred." As soon as the water gets stirred up, he says, "I have nobody to take me and get me into the water. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus' response to him is, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." That's what Jesus tells him. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. A couple of things to think about that is, one, Jesus' word, just his word alone, whatever he has said, there is power behind it to do it. We really need to embrace that. Whatever the Lord says to you from his word, he's got the power and ability to perform it. Oh my, what we could grasp, what we could apprehend, what we could lay hold of in our lives if we would embrace that and know that. The word that he speaks works his will. He spoke the world into being, calling that which is not into being that which is. It's nothing for God to speak the world even into being. So, how big is my problem? How big is my issue, my struggle? How big is your struggle today? Well, you just don't understand. My problem, my situation is much larger than just speaking the world into being. Probably not. God can do it. And what a truth. His word is powerful. Very, very powerful. His word has the ability to perform with it. Now, Jesus' interaction with this guy, this is the marginalized guy sitting on the peripheral edge of life, can't get there first. He's not a winner. One, Jesus kind of removes all of that from the whole picture. You see, with Christianity, it's not about winners and losers. Isn't that great to know it's about God's grace? And Jesus just displays that today, right here in front of us. It's not about being winners and losers. We have one superhero in our story, and it's just Jesus Christ. No other superheroes, just the Lord. Jesus asks him in verse 8 to do the absolute impossible, that which he cannot do. You see, you and I can't save ourselves. He asks us to step out by faith. What seems impossible, that it could even have been done for us, was done for us on the cross, that our sins could be forgiven. He asks you and I to just step out by faith, do the impossible, trust me. Just by faith, just trust me. What he has no ability to do, God asks him to do, but God empowers him to do it. His word is the power to perform. He asks him to do something that in the natural seems absolutely impossible. And then I like the second thing that Jesus, because he says rise, and that's just, this guy can't move. What is this, some kind of sadistic joke? Think about that. Think about if you're that guy. What are you making fun of me, dude? I would have had all kinds of things rolling around in my head. But Jesus, just rise. It's absolutely impossible in and of himself for that to happen. But God does the impossible. He makes possible the impossible. And then there's a little comma after rise. And he says, take up your bed and walk. Pick it up and take it with you and move on. There is absolutely no provision in this situation for any type of failure. But what if I might need my mat here later? What if this doesn't work? You think, well, gosh, I'm not totally tracking with you, Pastor Jim. Think with me for just one moment. I'm not quite going to sever that relationship that needs to be severed. Because, well, maybe it might not going to work out like I think, so I might want to go back to that. That's making a provision for the flesh, or a provision for something just in case this doesn't quite take like I think it's supposed to. Just in case it doesn't quite work out like I think. I remember a guy that had struggles similar to things that I'm very familiar with a substance and alcohol and so on. I don't struggle with that today. I want to tell you that. That's not an issue today. But in my past, many years ago, I understand that propensity and the struggle with it is associated with this. And I had a friend that was just constantly struggling with this, and he just basically slip back into the world and just go on these long binges and then, you know, repent and come back and try and get right with the Lord and all this, and did get right with the Lord and would move along for a while, and then sometimes things would go bad, and he said, I don't know why this can't, how come this doesn't happen to you? And I said, the only difference between you and me is you leave that as an option. You got to pick up your bed. You got to walk. I can't go back. It's not an option. It's the one link on your computer. Maybe it was an old boyfriend, an old flame. Maybe it's a pornography site. It's an old link to something you just didn't quite know. Pick up your bed, make no provision, give no opportunity, get completely sever it, rise, take up, be made whole, and move on. It's not an option. That's what Jesus is saying. The other thing that's kind of interesting is this gentleman had an excuse. He didn't answer yes or no. He just had an excuse, didn't he? As we went down in verse 7, the sick man answered. He said, do you want to be made well? He says, sir, I have no man. I'm looking to people to help me. I'm looking to those who could maybe do for me what I can't do for myself. And he's looking to humanity to help him. Look in our world today, those who are looking for all kinds of answers from friends, from counseling session after counseling session. And really, this interaction that Jesus has with this man, this is just basically an excuse that many would use. Well, I'm struggling with this, and I really don't have anyone. I've not found the right thing, the right deal, the right stuff that's going to work for me in this situation. And Jesus is saying, well, you're not looking in the right place. Jesus is basically saying, hey, just rise, take up your bed, and walk. It's done. Because, see, we need to trust God at his word. The Bible says, when we give our lives to the Lord, Behold, all things are new. It's a new creation in Jesus Christ. Now, he either means it's a new creation in him or it's not. He said it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when we give our lives to the Lord, we have the newness of life is yours and mine. Now, for those of you who've walked with the Lord a little while, I encourage you, embrace that. Walk in the newness of life each and every day. Appropriate that truth into your life. Yesterday's done. Tomorrow you don't have. You've got this ever-floating boundary between the past and the future, and it's called the N-O-W, now. That's what you got. And you need to walk in the now, in the newness of life, trusting the Lord. But not making provision for the flesh or the possibility of failure because now it's hinged back on you. This arrangement is not hinged on this person's personal ability, nor is it hinged on any other buddy's ability. No one else is it connected to except for God. It's hinged on a personal relationship with the encounter of Jesus Christ. Your hope, my hope, our hope can't be hinged on anything else, nor, brothers and sisters, nor shall we encourage anyone else to hinge their hope on us or anyone else but the person of Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No other, no priest, no voodoo thing, nothing, no isms, no psychology, nothing will save but the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing. It's so wonderful, isn't it? The marvel of God revealing himself to us as he's revealed himself to this man who's marginalized. Okay, everybody's all messed up. This guy's on the outside of the messed up. Think about that. This guy's not just a part of the crowd of the messed up. He's on the peripheral edge of the messed up. And God, Jesus, goes right to that man. He says, hey, man, you want to be made well? Oh, this guy has got to be so excited with whom he encountered on that special day. Immediately, in verse 9, the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said to him, who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Oh, the Ricky Rule Finders are right there, aren't they? No, you're messed up. You've got a substance problem. We've got to commit you to this institution. No, I've been made well. I met Jesus. No, we've got to get you to the institution. We've got to get you right. No, I'm okay. I met Jesus. These battles go on throughout our world all the time. People trying to pigeonhole other people into something that if they've met the Lord and God's done a work and they're made well, praise God. Let them walk with them. Encourage them in their journey. Not the legalistic, not the religious. It's the Sabbath. What are you doing, dude? You're supposed to carry your mat around? Well, he answered them. He said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. You didn't come and fix me. Think about it. You didn't come and fix me. This guy that fixed me, I've been sitting there 38 years feeling really bad about things. And look at this guy came and said, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is this man who said, take up your bed and walk? Oh, who's inspiring such things? Such trust in God, you know? Think about the absurd things that are said by even those who would profess to be Christians but are only religious. Not truly believers, but religious. Because there's a big difference between being a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and being religious. Two very different things. Religion always seeks to establish its own righteousness by means of our own efforts and works. Relationship is what Jesus purports and what Jesus supports, and that is what saves. A relationship with Jesus Christ. This man developed a relationship with the one true living God. But the one who was healed in verse 13 did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." He says, man, don't go back to it. It can just get worse. And it's true. It's really true. We must guard our hearts and ask the Lord to keep us and really trust him that we don't slip back into things, because it can get much worse for us. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. He was happy to share with them. After that encounter, he was very pleased to share with them. There's a couple things to think about, and we'll kind of close with a couple of little thoughts, but they're things worth pondering through your week, maybe through your lifetime. They're worth pondering. One, we saw clearly that Jesus spoke to him and just told him to do the impossible, what he was incapable of in and of himself. And so he had to take Jesus at his word. And the power then was there. As he received that word from the Lord and trusted in that word, he was able to do exactly what Jesus said, because the word has the power. And he says, take up your bed and walk. Again, this concept of making no provision for failure, for the flesh, no plans of, well, I might backslide. I wonder how that's going to play out. You know, what if I still want to make contact with? What? Nope. No. Pick up your bed, move on. And don't trust in others to do what only God can do. I have no man to help. Oh, no. Trust in the Lord. Take him at his word. And you say, you know, Pastor Jim, that's awesome. And that would work. That'd be fine for me. If in fact, Jesus was physically here, I'd be willing to do that. And the reality is that the Lord is here with us. The Lord is speaking to us. And I want to give you just a couple of scriptures. We could go on, because this could go on for a long while. But just to whet your appetite with the thought of this. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. This is Jesus prophetically speaking. And then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Jesus, all 66 books are speaking to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, his word to you and to me. He comes to you. He comes to me in the volume of the book. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a scalpel. It gets in there and cuts into the very heart and the intent of what you and I might need in any situation. And he's there to be the healer, the great, wonderful healer in our lives. Also, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, contained right here in 66 books. Great and precious promises that have been entrusted to you and to me, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, that now you can be a part of God's family, the divine nature, as we receive and embrace these truths, as God meets you and meets me and speaks to us right where we're at. He gives us the ability to walk in this new nature. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, that sin nature that's self-destructive, that is in the world through lust. That there is deliverance as we spend time in God's Word, receiving from Him those things that He has for us. I think out of this, the concept is to stay in the Word of God. That's where the help comes. That's where the healing comes. That's where the source of all that you might need is found. Every bit of it is found in the Word of God. And when we spend our time and we go to this place and we go to that place and we're trying to get help from them and get help from this and do that and find that really your time would have been better invested if you'd sat and read the Word and let God speak to your heart. Let God meet you. Do you realize that our world today will go and do, and unfortunately, oftentimes, even in those that would profess to be believers, will go to all kinds of other lengths to try and find help except for by prayer and the Word and seeking guidance from God. I love the power that's in those 15 verses that we read today. Those who would be marginalized and feel left out, God reaches out and touches and wants to make Himself real and minister to each one of us. Many of us have been that person. Many of us know that deep down we are that person. That we're just kind of marginalized. We're on the peripheral edge. We see the world around us. We see what's going on. We see the destruction of things. We see the hopelessness that seems to be out there. I wish someone would stir the water. I wish I could get there first. Do you realize God eliminated all of the competitive part of this? God eliminated all of that. Says, I don't even, you know what? Matter of fact, I don't even want you to be in the race. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It just doesn't play into this picture. God just wants to minister to your need, to my need. But how is it going to take place? It's going to take place as we spend time with God in His Word. That is what's going to sustain us.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know a lot of times as we listen to the Word, sometimes we really get convicted by God's Word. And you know, there's those times where we really need to repent and give our lives over to the Lord. The Bible, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, death is something, this destructive force, and it's this thing that, you know, our bodies are in this slow decay process. And you know, ultimately, we all are going to have a physical death, but spiritually, you don't have to die. We would die in our sin if not for the gift of God, and that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we want to receive that gift. We don't want to be paid the wages of our sin. We want to have everlasting life. And so you can pray this simple prayer of faith. If you've been, you know, listening and just hearing and just knowing that, man, God's tugging on your heart and you just know that there's something more to this life. Well, God wants to make Himself real to you, just like He's done in my life as I was once troubled and struggling and distant from God, partying, trying to drown all my sorrows, as it were. But you know, the Lord is there and He loves you and wants to meet you right where you're at. Just pray this simple prayer along with me. It doesn't matter whether you're driving or out on a walk, just with your earbuds in, just in a place where you can listen on your computer, wherever you might be. If you're listening to this right now, you can pray this simple prayer and have everlasting life. Jesus, I want to ask that You'd forgive me of all my sin. I want to ask that You would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to You. I don't want the wages of sin, which is death, but I want that gift of God, eternal life, in Christ Jesus, my Lord now. I'm thankful, Lord, for your forgiveness, and I just ask that, Lord, as I start this new life, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might please you and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible-teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, God.